Well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. I want to thank Terry for my designer mask. Steve and I match. This is so much better than that big one I've been wearing. So, how many of y'all love your mask? Woo! Everybody's raising their hands. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I'm ready for this to be over. Anybody with me on that? Well, you can follow along your notes. I think I left some blanks. I put more in there than normal, probably. But, you know, we're in week 7 of exile, it feels like, right? Of this quarantine. And we're with our immediate families. And some of you have extended families that come over. And then others that aren't here. And we love you guys. You're coming in contact with people who are at risk. And so you don't want to be around people. We understand all that. But here's the thing. We're used to going out all the time, right? Anybody with me? Who in here besides me and Pastor Kathy, your hobby is eating out? Come on now, somebody. And we like to go to movies, right? And concerts and ball fields and all those kind of stuff. But we've been stuck and kind of exiled to our houses. Now, I'm lucky. I get to be exiled with her. Y'all can pray for her because she's exiled with me, all right? You know, but... you know, what happens when you're around people more than you're used to is what? You start getting on each other's nerves, right?
Come on now.
Okay, well, you know, it's easy when you're like this. So today on Mother's Day, I almost named my message, How to Be Quarantined with Your Mama and Not Drive Her Crazy. But anyway, I want to talk about just a little bit. Can y'all hear me all right? Because I can't hear me. I mean, it's kind of weird. I want to talk a little bit about how we can love each other better, show mercy to each other better, and not drive each other crazy, if that'll work. Looking on your outline at Psalm 101, verse 2, David wrote this. He said, I will try and walk a blameless path. All of us trying to do that, right?
Amen.
Y'all need to raise your hand on that one. We're all trying to walk a blameless path, right? And then he says this, but how I need your help, especially in my own home where I long to act like I should. In other words, David's saying, hey, I'm good everywhere else, but in my own house, I need your help, Lord. Anybody with me on that? You know what I mean? How many of you wish you could act better at home? I mean, all of us. You know, and so I have a test for you this morning. So you can, if you want to be honest and raise your hands on these answers, that's fine, but hopefully they'll be funny as well. So here it is. When my spouse or my sibling or another family member gets some details wrong while telling a story, do I, number one, interrupt them and correct them publicly, or number two, say nothing and let it go, knowing that I've done the same thing? How many of you interrupt them, right? Okay, that's be all right, y'all. Some of y'all telling the truth. When my spouse, sibling, or another family member keeps making the same mistake over and over again, do I get irritated and angry with them, or do I cut them some slack once again knowing I've done the same thing? Do we get angry? All of us. When my spouse or sibling or another family member is getting more attention than I think they deserve, do I feel resentful and need to bring them down a notch? Or do I celebrate with them? How many of you the first one? I mean, you know, most of you. Well, 2 out of 3, y'all are pretty good, all right? But I still got the right message today. How many of you, what about this one? When my spouse or my sibling, my parent or family member says something I don't really understand, do I think they have the best motivation or do I think the worst? And get after them. I mean, how many of y'all think the worst and get after them, right? Okay, y'all, some honest, some not. Some of y'all with teenagers, I know you're lying not raising your hands. Because you think the worst, but with a teenager, it is the worst, right? I mean, you don't have to think it, right? Am I more polite to strangers than I am my own family members? I mean, listen. Here's how I know that's true. How many times have you been in an argument at home, or a high-level discussion, and the phone rings, and you pick it up and go, hello? You about to kill each other until the phone rings. That shows, one, we can control it, but it shows, number two, we do that. So I want to talk about how we can show mercy at home. I want you to write this down. Mercy is love. Write that down. Mercy is love in action. See, God loves us, so he shows us mercy. And so we're going to look at 16 characteristics, or 15, depending on which translation you're looking at. Characteristics of love, they're also characteristics of mercy. So I'm going to read this slowly, maybe make a comment or two, and move through it. Read with me. Love is patient. Man, our world needs some of that, doesn't it? Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boast. It's not proud. Love does not dishonor other people. Man, we need that big time in our world, to where we're not dishonoring other people. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Hello? One translation says it's not easily irritated. How many of y'all, during this exile we've been in, somebody has stepped on your last nerve at least once? You got a few of y'all putting your hands up?
Jesus Christ, are you serious?
Here's one. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Guys, admit it. We all wish our wives would obey that one, right?
Jesus Christ, it's freaking crazy.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where prophecies, where there's knowledge, it all passes away. He's talking about the preeminence of love or mercy. Either one. So I want to talk about real quick. Four ways we can show mercy. My mama told me not to go too long. So number one, right? Because you show mercy at home by overlooking irritations or offenses. You show mercy at home by overlooking irritations and offenses. Paul said this in verse 5. He said, it is not easily angered. So love or mercy is not easily angered. We show mercy. It's easy to be angry at each other, irritated when you're isolated. It's not just that you're spending more time together than you used to. It's that you have to spend more time. I've got a friend who's hired a police officer, and he's been married like 35 years. I said, how in the world do you do that? Because in police world, there are a lot of divorces. And he said, we work different shifts. It's like the hay and bye, and they're going. Anger is not really bad, though. It's not a sin to be angry. God gets angry. Jesus got angry. It's how anger. You got to learn how to deal with anger. Look at some Proverbs about that. Proverbs 15:18, Solomon said, if you've got an anger problem, you're going to get in arguments. He said, hot tempers cause arguments. In verse 29 of chapter 14, he said, he knows that anger, a wise man knows 17, and people do foolish things. Anyway, I can remember one time at a church league volleyball game. Everybody's going, oh, that's my Sunday school teacher chewing on that referee. You know what I mean? You know, how bad is that? And I was just glad I didn't cuss. But I had to go around and apologize to everybody in the gymnasium, you know. You'll do foolish and stupid things. Now, the way we overcome the way we overcome anger is through love and mercy. Proverbs 17:9 says, love forgets mistakes. Love forgets mistakes, but nagging parts the best of friends. So we've got to determine that if we're going to show somebody love, if we love somebody, we're going to forget their mistakes. When you keep remembering and remembering, that's not showing love. Proverbs 19:11, Solomon had a lot to say on this. He said, if you're sensible, you'll control your temper. He said this, when someone wrongs you, it is a great virtue to ignore it. Now, I'm not saying you let somebody be abusive and come into your life and destroy your family and stuff like this. I'm not talking about that. You know, somebody's abusive and stuff. We got police officers can take care of that, right? And so that needs to be taken. But we need to learn to ignore those things that get on our nerves. Too many people walk around being offended at everything. Let me tell you, if you're so easily offended, That's really a sign of immaturity. As we grow stronger in the Lord, we don't become offended at easy things. So, but it's easy to get that way when you're quarantined, like we have been for 7 weeks. People, especially those who are close, are the ones that can hurt your feelings. I mean, you know, somebody put an ugly comment on Facebook about my sermon, and that don't bother me. But if that lady over there, my wife, says that was a terrible sermon, I'm going to pout the rest of the week, all right? You know, it's just, you don't let people in to offend you like that. So three questions you can ask real quick. I think these are on your outline when you're angry. Is why am I angry? What's really going on? Why am I mad about this? And then ask yourself, what do you really want? When that 6-year-old or that 5-year-old is getting on your last nerve, what is it you really want? And then how can I get what I really want? See, I see too many times. Matter of fact, we were walking in the neighborhood the other day, and there were some people getting in a truck, and they had a kid and a dog. And the lady was yelling. I couldn't tell if she was yelling at the dog or the kid. I think it went back and forth. But neither one of them was listening. Why? Because when we lose it and start yelling, it just is not effective. You've got to decide what it is that you want and how you're going to get it so that you can do that. So blowing up usually won't work out. Look at what Paul said. Let that cool off. I've got to pull this up on my phone all of a sudden. It got too hot sitting there. I don't have a phone. Somebody give me this other iPad, maybe.
Sorry, that fast enough.
All right. We're going to have to.
I'll be back in.
This might be a real short sermon, y'all. Put that iPad in the shade.
Put that inside.
So Paul said this. He said, and be careful when you get on each other's nerves so that you don't snap at each other. How many of you, it's easy to snap, right? Anybody besides me get a little snappy, a little snippy? And so it's easy to do that. Paul says you don't do that. All right. Trying to see if we can do this here. Got it. Maybe I have. Somebody walk in there where you can get on Wi-Fi and download that. So you don't want to get snippy and do that. Paul said, be careful. How many of you know we're going to get on each other's nerves, right? It's going to happen. And so you don't want to snap at each other. And then he says this. If we just live by this verse, this would work. He said, look for the best in each other, and always do your best to bring it out. So when we're getting on each other's nerves, what do we need to do? We need to what? Look for the best in each other, and then try and always bring that out. Try and always bring that out. My iPad back up yet? All right. Oh, I know what I can use. I can use my computer. Maybe. All right.
I got it anyway.
You got it?
Yep.
There, I'll show you. All right. So number two. You show mercy at home by being kind. Get the when they don't deserve it, but they need it. You show mercy at home by being kind when they don't deserve it. Guys, most of the time we don't deserve it, right? Most of the time our wives don't, well, they deserve it. But our kids don't deserve it, right? You know, so You show mercy even when they don't deserve it. Now, I want to tell you something. In every family, I'm gonna give you some initials I want you to write down. VDP. Very draining person. How many of you have somebody in your family? They're a very draining person, right? I mean, they just sap the energy out of you.
Really?
I mean, everybody's got one. You better stop elbowing her, Ronald.
Oh!
Guys, do not do that. All of us have. We got somebody in our family. It might be an in-law, might be an uncle, somebody different. And here's the different kinds of very draining people. You got the difficult people. They're just hard to work with. They're irresponsible. They're immature. Then you've got the demanding kind of VDP, right? They like the world is centered on them. The world revolves around them. They're real hard to work with. Then you got those that disappoint you. How many of you? He said he's going to change, and he doesn't. Messes up again, over and over. Then there's the destructive people. These are just the people that they bring havoc into your household. All these kinds. Did I miss any? I think I got them all. I mean, they're abusive in their relationships. They manipulate. All those things. Here's how to deal with those people. 1 Corinthians 13:4, Paul said, love is patient and kind. Then in verse 7 in the CEV, he said, love is always supportive. We're patient, we're kind, and we're supportive to those very draining people. Very draining people. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, look at this next verse, Proverbs 19:11. It says this, a wise man restrains his anger and overlooks insults. That means you begin to learn why is that person acting the way they're acting? Why are they doing what they're doing? And when you begin to understand that maybe they were abused and that's why they're so mean or whatever it is, or they didn't come from a loving household or whatever it is. I'm not saying that excuses, but you understand it. That allows you to be a little bit more patient with that person. I want you to write this down. Hurting people hurt people. If somebody's hurting somebody, they've been hurt. They've been hurt. So when you begin to understand why they do what they do, you can begin to be more patient. And as Proverbs 3:27 says, you can do this. Whenever you possibly can, do good. Whenever you possibly do good. Damn. Let me say it again. Whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Who needs it? All of us. All of us. Solomon said, do good to people. He said, he didn't say do good to people that deserve it. He said it when it's possible, do good to those who do it. Now, here's what happens. We've been in quarantine, and some of y'all are watching grandkids. Some of y'all are home with the kids all the time, and the kids finally figured out they outnumber you at home, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, you're that way, and then you got your grandparents watching it for your children. People come home, and all of a sudden, you've had a hard day at work, or you've had a crazy day at home, and something happens, and you go, boom! That's what happens. It finally just erupts, right? I want to tell you this morning, don't go boom. Don't go boom. Do good to each other. Be kind. Now, put in your bulletin just some reasons to be kind towards each other. I'm going to read them. I'm not going to comment on them because I'm going low. You've got them in your notes. Be kind to people because God's been kind to me. Anybody besides me glad God is not giving you what you deserve? That he's being kind? See? He's been kind to us. Number two, kindness honors God. No, kindness will make you happy. Hey, look, when you're kind to other people, you feel better about yourself. You feel better about a lot of stuff. And then number four, kindness will make you attractive. All right, guys. Some of us need all the help we can get. So kindness, it says this worry will rob you of happiness, but kindness makes a man attractive. And it's better to be poor than dishonest. So kindness will make you attractive. Even if physically we're not. Kindness makes people want to be kind to you.
Man.
When you treat other people kind, you got a better chance of them being kind back. And then God blesses kindness. All those are good reasons to be kind towards other people. Even those family members that get under your last nerve. even the family members that get under your last nerve. So how do you do that? Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. He said, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try and do good to each other and to all people." Let me tell you, it is not always easy to show mercy, but it's always the right thing. Read a story about a lady named Patricia. She'd been raised in a military home with two alcoholic parents. And she was moved around a lot and didn't have a warm, fuzzy relationship with her mom. And later on in life, she was married, had her own family, her kids were grown, and her stepdad died and left her mother all alone. Now, guys, the best thing you can do for your wife as far as a Mother's Day gift is get healthy and stay healthy so you won't leave her all alone, all right? But she was left all alone, so Patricia didn't want her mom to come live with her because of all the hurt from the past. So she went to live with her brother, and that didn't work out. Then she went to live with a sister. That didn't work out. Patricia's husband said, "We're going to have to bring her home." So they brought her home, and they realized how malnourished, how unkempt she was. She needed physicals. She needed all kinds of doctor's appointments to get her back up and going. And so they did all that. And then she had a stroke, and they were taking care of her, even while Patricia was going through chemo for breast cancer. And here's some things she said. She said, "Mercy is never convenient or easy, but she knew God sent her mom to her so that she could learn the lesson of mercy." She learned mercy taking care of her mom. She said this, "Retaliation never makes you happy, but the pathway to peace is through mercy." So when we show mercy to other people, it helps us. It helps us. And number three, you show mercy at home by letting go of past hurts. That means, Paul said, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Here's what that means. You don't rehearse it in your mind all the time and think about it. Because what happens when you rehearse it? You're thinking and thinking and thinking, and all of a sudden, you get madder and madder and madder, right? You don't rehearse it. You don't keep bringing it up. You don't weaponize their mistakes. And you don't tell others about it. You let it go. And listen, you for sure don't put it on Facebook, all right? I want to break some people's thumbs off. Ban you from Facebook. Nobody sitting here, of course. You don't put your personal stuff like that on Facebook. You don't tell other people. Love does not hold grudges. Love, if you don't get anything out of this, love doesn't hold grudges. Number four, you show mercy at home by believing God is working in the lives of those around you. You show mercy at home by believing God is working in their lives. God is working in their lives. Whether it's your spouse, your kids, your parents, whoever it is, God is at work. God is at work in their lives. Verse 7 in our passage of 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And love doesn't give up. The psalmist David said this, "Hear my prayer for mercy when I call to you for help, when I lift up my hands to you in your holy place." That's where our strength comes from. It comes from God. When we raise it, you may need to raise your hands up. You may need to pray this at home tomorrow. Some of y'all might need to pray it today. Hear my prayer for mercy. Because I want to kill these kids. Hear my prayer for mercy today. And I honor mom. I called my mother today. She's 98, going to be 99 in a few months. I'm so fortunate to still have her. Told her she's the best mom I ever could have had. She said, "Well, I don't always feel like it." I said, "But you are." Then she told me don't preach too long. So I'm wrapping up.
Yeah.
Listen, we got people who are having crisis in their life.
Maybe.
You know, one of the things I learned early, my daddy had a charcoal plant. And he made great charcoal. You didn't even need that lighter stuff, the lightest charcoal. And one night, lightning struck his charcoal plant and it burned it to the ground. You could see the fire from the next county over. All kinds of... I remember when my dad came back in the house and I was... in the room, and he looked at mom and said, "It's gone. Charcoal plant was gone. His dream of his own business gone. He was dirty, sweaty, all that." But you know what they did? They kept giving to the church. They kept going to church. They kept praying and stayed faithful in every aspect of what they were doing. Y'all see my mama's video on the giving talk she did for her church. That's where I learned all this from my mother. They just kept being faithful. Jeremiah was like that. Jeremiah's life had fallen apart. And he said this. He said, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve my loss. And I know my dad and my mom grieved the loss of that business. And he went to work for somebody else after that and had a great work career, but his dream of being his own boss of his own business was gone. But here's what my mom and dad said, the same thing Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3. Jeremiah said, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. How many of you today, you can still dare to hope this virus is going to be over one day?
Amen.
All right? The jobs are going to come back, or new jobs will come. We've got to have that hope, because here's what he said, I still dare to hope when I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord. Say, the faithful love of the Lord ends, never cease.
Amen.
Then he goes on and says, faithfulness is my friend each morning. We serve a good God whose love for you never stops.
Amen.
His love for you never stops. And really, if you think about it, the things I've told you this morning about how to show mercy and love to people around you, same thing God does to us. Look, God overlooks and forgives your offenses. That's mercy. How many of you are glad he does that? Okay? God is kind to you even when you need it, but don't deserve it, right? How many of you are glad for that? God shows kindness. And when I pray for you, I pray good things into your life and draw you closer to relationship with him. I want God's kindness. God wipes out and forgets your past sin when you trust Jesus. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
And then God is working in your life even though you don't know it. Even if you don't know it. And so hopefully that's an encouraging word. I want to pray. We're not going to have altar time today because of social distancing. But I just want to pray. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes on Facebook unless you're driving. I know we've got people listening, and maybe even here, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I want to tell you, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not about coming to church. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with the living God who loves you, who died on the cross for you, and rose again for you. And so I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. If you're watching, if you're here, might even be somebody in the neighborhood. I don't know, we're pretty loud. Just say this, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Come into my life, be my Savior, forgive me of all my sin. Give me power to live for you each and every day so that I can spend eternity in heaven with you one day. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, whether you're here or online, Jesus just came in your heart. If he gave you of your sins, and now you have a relationship with him. Now you have his power in your life to do these things we've been talking about. You have his power to be able to go and show mercy to people when they're not showing mercy to you. And so you've got that power to be able to do that because of him. Now, I want us to, while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you know somebody, I mean, we've got people who are sick. We've got congregation members who are sick and watching this on their phones at home or in the hospital. So, but if you've got a family member that is sick with whether it's the virus or something, just raise your hand. We want to pray for your family members. Lord, you see these hands. You see the people online, God. We pray for those who are fighting cancer, who are fighting heart disease, who are fighting the coronavirus. Lord, we pray, God, for healing. Lord, for those who've had surgeries and complications from surgeries, we pray you would guide the doctors. Lord, we pray that you would give them ideas that they haven't thought about and bring healing into their bodies. God, for the many people whose jobs are on the line, Lord, who are worried about their jobs or worried if their jobs are going to come back. Lord, for those whom we know and our friends who own businesses, God, that are shut down right now, we pray for them, God. Lord, we pray that as our economy opens back up, Lord, you would guide it Lord, keep people safe. And those who are sick, heal their bodies, God. As we get our friends, our family back to work and back into the economy and back into society, God. Even though it may look like a new normal, Lord, we thank you that you've gotten our attention. And Lord, we pray, God, that we'll never take you for granted. That we'll always, God, look to you first. Your word says if we seek you first, you take care of everything else. So God, today on Mother's Day, we seek you, God. And we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Everybody say together?
Amen.
Amen. Guys, what's that? Okay, are we handing those out, or is that what we're fixing to do? Hand them out. We've got, again, all our greeters, if y'all go help, we've got these wonderful cookies for all the moms, all the ladies. And y'all make sure you get them. And we've got the cookies, we've got some candy, and we love you and are so glad that you joined us today. And guys, look, if you don't get emails or texts from us, make sure you give me that communication card, that connection card, because we want to stay in touch. We don't know if we'll be inside next week or online next week or inside the following week, but we'll let you know via text, Facebook, and email. So thank you so much for coming. God bless you. And be safe. Somebody turn the Facebook thing off.